From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Hillary Clinton finally bowed out of the presidential race.
Today, I am standing with Senator Obama to say, yes, we can!
She got 18 million votes during the primary and gave her support to Barack Obama. So what influence did and does Senator Clinton have on American politics? And where does the presidential race go from here? For more, we've got NPR Senior Washington Editor Ron Elving. Hey, Ron.
Good to be with you, Farai.
So Hillary Clinton finally conceded on Saturday. She gave Barack Obama her full support. Explain to us how this worked, because she knew essentially that she wouldn't be able to take the delegates several days before she made that speech.
She did. She knew perhaps as soon as the Indiana-North Carolina primaries back a couple of months earlier that there would not be a chance for her to catch him in pledged delegates, and she was relying entirely on persuading a big majority of the super delegates to come to her standard and leave Barack Obama. So even the ones who were kind of keeping their powder dry at that point and not announcing were believed to be leaning in Barack Obama's direction. Otherwise, they would have gone with Hillary Clinton. And she was trying very hard to make that sale on the basis of what she saw as her greater electability. I think she went all the way to the very end, believing there would be a way to turn the superdelegates around, and it just never happened for her.
Yeah, we saw, in fact, some superdelegates committing support for the first time, but a lot of them, including some members of the Congressional Black Caucus, flipping their support. But anyway, let me play a quick clip from Hillary Clinton on Saturday.
When that day arrives, and a woman takes the oath of office as our president, we will all stand taller, proud of the values of our nation, proud that every little girl can dream big and that her dreams can come true in America. And all of you will know that because of your passion and hard work, you helped pave the way for that day. So I want to say to my supporters, when you hear people saying, or think to yourself, if only, or what if, I say, please don't go there.
Now, that is a poignant moment. It really speaks to Senator Clinton's wants and desires to change American politics. Has she changed American politics, for women particularly?
No question. Anyone from now on who asks themselves, can a woman be a serious candidate, a candidate who goes right to the brink of being nominated and nominated in a year in which being nominated by the Democratic Party is a highly valuable nomination to have, anyone who goes to that contemplation in the future is going to think Hillary Clinton has proved this can be done. Maybe Hillary Clinton will be back proving you can go all the way to the White House in 2012 or 2016. Maybe she'll be on the ballot this time. So we really have had a redefinition of what the upper limits are for women in American politics.
There are groups like the White House Project that are specifically devoted to women in politics. And the White House Project, for example, is specifically devoted to getting a woman in the White House. And I know that some members of the group, I think probably all of them, had incredibly high hopes. But not just specific groups. There are many people in America, many of them women, but not all of them, who really thought, this is our moment. And are those people, some of those people, going to be unable or unwilling to vote for Barack Obama, even if they are Democrats or Democrat-leaning?
I think it's quite possible some of them will be unable to transfer the kind of enthusiasm and loyalty that they had to Hillary Clinton to anyone else at any time. But with respect to this specific presidential election in November, I think Hillary Clinton herself said it best when she mentioned two words on Saturday, Supreme Court. If you care about the issues that have motivated a lot of people in the women's movement, if you care about issues that have motivated a lot of people in the gay rights movement, you're going to have to take a long, hard look at your choice in November and ask who's going to appoint justices to replace some of the justices on the court who have been on my side of those issues. Do I want that person to be John McCain or Barack Obama?
Now, back in December, let's do a little bit of a rewind. Senator Clinton was significantly ahead in the polls. She was ahead in money. How did the freshman senator from Illinois come from behind to pull off this victory?
You mentioned money, and money was probably the very first thing that he showed he could do. In that first quarter of 2007, when everyone was prepared to be enormously impressed with how much money Hillary Clinton had raised, Barack Obama raised more. And he raised more largely by motivating people through the internet, not just by going out and getting the maximum donation, $2,300 for the primaries, from a maximum number of people, as Hillary Clinton did, but by getting some of those, yes, some of the $2,300 ones, but also getting tens of thousands and then eventually hundreds of thousands of smaller contributions, so that in the end he had 1.5 million contributors. 1.5 million contributors. This is completely unprecedented in American politics. That was the first thing, the money. Second thing was he showed he could organize people as only a community organizer with a charismatic presence in large events can do. It was the little stuff down at the grassroots level, microcosmic level, and then it was the enormous events, 75,000 people out by the riverside in the middle of a workday in Portland, Oregon. Places like that where you had never seen crowds of this nature before, he has set records all over the country. So the combination of that rock star quality that got a lot of attention and that down in the weeds organizing where you get people out to attend caucuses on a Tuesday night, that was eventually how he did it.
Do you think that there could be Obama fatigue coming up? You know, politicians are a bit like rock stars. You know, they have this incredible charisma and people kind of fall in love with them, have these political crushes. As we have gone through this incredibly long primary process, do you think that as we enter the general election that people will just get more excited or that some of them will begin to just tune out a bit?
Excellent question. There will be some people who go in each direction, I suspect, and the great question will be where the preponderance lies. Will people decide that he's been something of a one-trick pony and they haven't heard anything new from him? They've seen the big events. They've seen the small caucus organizing. Now what can you do? What can you do to win in the fall? What do you do to beat John McCain and the Republican machinery in the media, in terms of their own organizing and fundraising? What do you do to beat them? Does he have a second act? And I think there'll be people who have never really paid a lot of attention to this process up to now, haven't really learned much about Barack Obama yet, may still be believing what they're seeing on the internet about him. And those people are going to learn more and be more attracted. So there'll be some people phasing past him a little bit and some people just coming into their first appreciation. And the question will be how those combine and how it stacks up against McCain and his pluses and minuses.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Obama-Clinton ticket. So, first of all, has her essential concession speech changed the outlook at all on whether or not she could be the VP?
Ultimately, no. Ultimately, that is a decision that he has to make on the basis of what he thinks is best for his presidency and the campaign to get there. He has appointed three people who are going to vet candidates and give him a recommendation, and he wants to give them weeks in which to operate. But there was a period of time last week, right after the last primary and before her concession speech, in which a tremendous force was building within the body politic of her supporters, essentially demanding that, being as how they had tied essentially in the popular vote and she was not far behind in pledged delegates, he really had to put her on the ticket. He really had no choice. And that, I think, has receded.
Now, what about Bill? There are some, we talked last week on the show about whether or not Bill Clinton would even be welcomed back into Sylvia's, the big, you know, soul food restaurant in Harlem. He's got his offices in Harlem, of course. Bill Clinton is an incredible campaigner, and he could be an incredible asset. But right now, there seems to be some bitterness between Bill Clinton and Obama supporters, if not Obama himself. Do we foresee any way that Bill Clinton will be wooed back into the race for president?
We do, because this is the biggest game. This is the big casino. And he is, as you say, a great campaigner and a great player. He's going to want to be out there pushing. In the end, he's going to be out there pushing for the Democratic candidate. And yes, I think he has experienced some resentment of Barack Obama. He keeps referring to him as that young man, this young man, and so on. Bill Clinton enjoyed being the top dog, and he had envisioned a kind of return to power through his wife's election as president. That's all been interrupted now, and he's going to have to sort it out. He's going to have to come to terms with his feelings. He's have to decide that he wants to get back into Sylvia's. And at that point, he's going to say to himself, there's only one team I can be playing on this fall, and he'll get out there and he'll do the best, as will Hillary, even if she isn't on the ticket. And by the way, one reason she might not be on the ticket would be because of the difficulty of dealing with Bill.
All right, let's get to a little practicality before we wrap this up. Money. in many races, in many presidential races, the Republicans have had more in the kitty, either for the party or for the candidate. What are we seeing this time around?
Usually we see the two parties do equally well among the very wealthy who can give the maximum. But then the Republicans do better among upper middle class and middle class people who are willing to give smaller amounts but give them regularly. The Democrats, generally speaking, don't do that well with those smaller donors. That's all changed now because of that dynamic I mentioned earlier. With 1.5 million people out there who have not maxed out, who can give again and give again, and many more people who could be added, some people think he'll have 3 million contributors by November. And that means that even if they're giving it on average a rather small amount of money, it's going to be an enormous war chest, the likes of which neither party has ever seen for a non-incumbent presidential candidate and which the Democrats have never seen for a president or a non-incumbent candidate. So this is just going to change that whole kind of logic that we've had in the past. And I think in the end, Barack Obama will refuse public financing and say, I've got my own system that's just as public and just as little guy oriented.
Very quickly, what about feet on the street, grassroots mobilizers, Democrats or Republicans ahead?
Democrats, I think this time, because of the enormous enthusiasm Democrats feel in general about this election cycle, the Republican brand is down, the enthusiasm level is not great, and the hard right conservatives don't really like John McCain that much, and so they and some of the social conservatives who provide a lot of those feet on the ground are not going to be as involved.
Well, Ron, it's always great to have you on. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Farai.
Ron Elving is the senior Washington editor for NPR, and he spoke with us from our headquarters in Washington, D.C.